And welcome, everybody, to the Audio Choke here at MMATorch.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We are Audio Choke at Facebook and Twitter.com. This is a mixed martial arts love letter from the 49th state, and we're happy to have you here. As always,
I'm Tobin Shelby.
I'm Matt Collins, and Greg Rowland is out making money.
Is he?
He's getting that paper. He's hustling. Money, the dough.
I thought he got, like, lost into the wild or something like that.
Yeah, no, he's doing it like a James Toney. He's doing it for the paycheck. You know, his heart's really not into it, like BJ Penn. And we're here embracing the grind of another audio choke.
So. Wait. I thought James Toney legitimately liked MMA and he was going to make a real hard effort at this and not come at his heaviest weight ever.
237?
Yeah, I think that's the, I believe that is 20, from what I heard, I believe it was at least 20 pounds more than he weighed, more than he weighed in his last boxing fight. And I believe that it was also the heaviest he's ever weighed for boxing.
Wow.
I know we talked about it before, you know, I think in the weeks leading up to this fight, the Couture-Toney fight, that, James Toney, you know, he was a legit, very good boxer past his prime, but, you know, he's won these multiple titles.
And he
like
still
that.
Has a championship title? Is this correct?
Yeah, but first of all, you got to remember, boxing titles are ridiculous because, like, everyone has a belt. Not to discredit him, he did win, like, legit boxing titles. But also important to note, I believe, and again, you know, not knowing a lot about boxing, but just kind of doing some cursory reading, a lot of his, you know, like, when James Toney was in his prime, he was fighting in, like, the, I believe, the 160, 170-pound category. Mm-hmm. And he definitely is kind of burnt out from the boxing scene. So it's not like this is a guy who just recently was, like, tearing up the division or anything like that.
And then has been hounding Dana White looking
right.
for a gig.
So I think it's fair to say, I mean, this was really kind of like a PR stunt. And, I mean, also, you got to remember, I mean, Dana White started it. I mean, he used to be a boxing guy. You know, this isn't... So I think it was kind of like Dana White. Like, oh, man, I really like boxing, like James Toney or whatever, and it'll get us good coverage. And, you know, play up the whole, like, MMA versus boxing and maybe get some more pay-per-view buys out of it. I don't think we'll see James Toney back in the UFC, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean,
he obviously cared so much. A lot of caring on this last pay-per-view.
I would care if I was making six or seven figures.
Right, but he's already cashed the check. And then he's, you know, and then what? You just wait to hopefully you don't get your face broken or anything
right.
like that. And, you know, all in all, it was, yeah, the coolest tap I've ever seen, you know, just kind of flailing his hand in the
yep.
air. He didn't even know how to tap. Like, that's how little about the sport he knows. He doesn't even know how to tap.
That counts, I guess, right?
Absolutely it does.
But it was funny. I was watching the fights with some people who hadn't seen MMA before, which is always fun.
Was the British dude there?
No.
No, Brit? Okay.
No, the drunken British dude I hung out with was later in the evening.
Mm.
But, no, it was some people who didn't watch MMA before, so I got to explain. I was like, see, if he actually knew what he was doing, he would have tried to get what's called the guard position and wrapped his legs around the hips of his opponent.
That's really 101 in the book.
Right, and, you know, he wasn't trying any escapes and everything. Like, I don't train, I don't roll, so I know, I'm sure if I got taken down in a fight, I'd be like, ah! And freak out, but, like, presuming I had trained at all, like, that's, like, the guard's a basic position.
Absolutely. No, it's in the ground floor. And look, we're passionate about this sport. We're
right.
fans. You don't have to play something to have a good opinion about it.
Right.
You know, like, there is nothing that we have control over in the sport. But, however, we care enough about it.
Yep.
And, you know, damn it, we deserve to have our opinions made. That's why we're doing this podcast.
That's right.
So, you know, suck it, dude, you know? If you're like, well, we don't see you out there, well, you know, F off, man. We are, we're here spending the money on the sport. We're buying the memorabilia, the fat heads, you know? Let our voices be heard. Gosh, diggity darn it.
Yeah.
James Toney, why don't you give a crap?
Yeah.
Randy Couture, boy, I bet he feels good after all that.
Yeah, I think we talked about this earlier. It's kind of a lose-lose for him. I mean, if he won, as he did easily with a takedown we've never really seen him do before, which, you know, again, kind of be expected. Because we're talking about, you know, Randy Couture not like, you know, the double leg shoot from the outside type of guy. But I kind of assumed he would know how to do something like that or would be able to learn quickly how to do a more traditional, safer type takedown. And that's really what he did. Got the single ankle, I think. But basically shot in pretty soon. But yeah, it was kind of lose-lose for Randy Couture. And not to say, like, he came off bad in this fight, but, I mean, he was expected to win.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he doesn't really gain anything out of this.
And even after the fight, he just seemed, I mean, not defeated, but a hollow victory. You know, I just tried to slap on that move that I learned my first week in wrestling. You know, I never get to do that, so I just kind of did it. Like he doesn't know much of anything.
Right. So I mean, it was what we expected, and had he lost, I mean that would have looked very bad for him. But yeah, I mean, again, this fight was what I expected. Honestly, I think it went about a minute longer than I thought it might. But you know,
oop, there it was. So yeah. Mixed martial arts wins. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't think this really says anything overall about the MMA versus boxing debate. I was reading an article over at SureDog, and I think they put it best. It was basically like comparing tennis to water polo.
Awesome.
I mean, it's just like a hollow debate. Like, you know, I know there's people on both sides of the issue who, or for, you know, on both sides of the sport who are like, oh, they're really passionate about it, but I don't get it. You know, it's not really a debate I want to dive into, whether you think it's a legit debate or not, the MMA versus boxing, the Randy Couture James Toney fight doesn't have much to do with it because James Toney, past his prime, kind of has burnt some bridges in boxing. I mean, he had, you know, steroid allegations, some issues. I mean, he had problems with making weight, all that stuff. So he had his own issues within the world of boxing itself. And, you know, Randy Couture, a beloved figure in the sport, but, you know, past his prime as well. Not like, you know, a great ambassador for the sport and a great person you can show is like, hey, this is how great someone can be in MMA, but I mean, he's not like at that top peak competitive level, you know, now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like the world's best MMA fighter versus the world's best boxer. And again, I think we talked about it. A boxer would beat an MMA fighter in a boxing match. An MMA fighter is going to beat a boxer in an MMA match,
mm-hmm.
like, because they're different sports.
Yep.
So, I like how we talked about the freak show fight first. Also, there was a championship belt on the line.
Yeah, which really was one of the most disappointing fights, you know, I think I've ever seen.
You weren't feeling it, huh?
Well, I had bet on Edgar, so I was correct.
Okay.
But during the whole five rounds, I just saw somebody who was the better fighter, even then, just lose and get his ass handed to him. Like, he would, you know, BJ Penn take down from Edgar, and then he would just get up with this ease, you know, and he was calm during the whole thing. He never breathed heavy, never looked like he was working up a sweat, and he just seemed better, but could not care less that he was there or anything that was happening to him. And maybe he's a bit more, you know, passionate about it, and he keeps it all inside. Maybe he was stoic, but, you know, it was just a disappointing fight.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned after the last beat, when they fought the first time, when Frank Edgar won and claimed the lightweight title 4 months ago, I think, that BJ Penn seemed kind of like slow and off and disinterested. You know, maybe I'm like, it just didn't seem like the regular BJ Penn. Now we see that BJ Penn twice in a row, and I hate to talk about it like in these terms because it takes away from what Frankie Edgar did, who did, in fact, I think, improve since his last fight because he scored more takedowns and did land more substantial strikes to BJ Penn.
Oh, he owned BJ Penn, yeah. Most definitely. But there just seemed to be, and this is me just looking into it
right.
more, you know, like this is just reading between the lines.
As someone who wanted more bang for his buck, you felt
that? Yeah, I felt that BJ Penn is a better fighter, and he was even, you know, showing that and getting up from the takedowns, and, you know, I think his potential was so much more than he, you know, let on.
Right. And
Edgar was much better, you know, best Edgar I've ever seen.
Right. It's weird. I mean, I think we talked about it last week where, you know, even though Edgar won the first fight, you know, a bit controversially perhaps, but he had won, he was still the underdog. And, you know, it's weird. But, yeah, BJ Penn just didn't come out with the fire that I expected him to. And, you know, I kind of picked BJ Penn to win because he would come out with, like, more, you know, it's a chip on his shoulder having lost the belt, lost that fight to Edgar.
Just isn't there.
Yeah, so, but again, Frankie Edgar actually showed, you know, like we said, marked improvements. And now we're getting the rematch with Gray Maynard, who will
be that, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the win over Frankie Edgar, and granted, that was about 2 years ago, I think. But, you know, he's when we did see BJ Penn have limited success in this fight, which he clearly lost, I believe, all five rounds, rightfully so this time, unlike their last fight. BJ Penn did have limited success getting the takedown, and, at one point he even briefly got Frankie Edgar's back. And I expect we're going to see, based on what we've seen from Gray Maynard, know how he fights. He'll probably stand for a bit, but I would imagine he's going to go for takedowns, go for that smothering offense against Frankie Edgar. And if, he can keep him down, I would imagine he's going to have some success with it. I don't know if Frankie Edgar has the power, at this point to finish someone like Gray Maynard, the bully, the bigger fighter. But no, I think that is, I don't know how well, you can market it. I mean,
yeah, this is a pretty tough match to get anybody interested in.
Right. I mean, from their previous fight, you'd be like, oh, the only man to beat Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard, and you can market that. But as far as their personality, once you get the talking heads, neither one of those guys has that fire in their belly as far as promo work goes. I mean, you look back at someone like a Kenny Florian who, lost that decision to Gray Maynard at UFC 118, but you look back to the lead up to his fight with BJ Penn, and you have that sound clip of him yelling, I'm a fighter who finishes fights. I want BJ's belt. It's time to kill the master, all that stuff. And Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard, who are great fighters, in their own right, just don't have that, or at least haven't shown that kind of
that spark.
That spark. They don't, not in their post fight interviews, and even if the UFC sits them down for an interview, they just don't have that.
There's going to have to be some really creative editing, and I think Joe Rogan, is probably going to have a lot of things to say.
He's going to have to do the crazy eyes into the camera hard sell.
And he's going to have to pick up a lot of the slack. And, you've been really good at pointing out in the past that that Joe and Mike, have a tendency to kind of lead the fan on into the fight, making it more interesting than it actually is. So they've really got their announcing work cut out for them coming up. And it looks like, it's going to be a bit of a dullard. It's the lightweight championship isn't looking all that interesting anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are looking at another decision. And again, I'm not one of those guys who is like, oh, knock him out, kill him dead.
Not angry about it, just pointing out what's going to happen. So
yeah, I think we are in for a grueling fight, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the last time they fought, it was three rounds, so we'll see, if Frankie Edgar can maintain a high pace, if Gray Maynard can slow him down, if Gray Maynard can keep him down, what Frankie Edgar's going to do. Because, I mean, he actually, had showed off very good wrestling against BJ Penn in this fight. But, I think, Gray Maynard is a very good wrestler. I think we're going to have to see maybe different game plans. I don't know what we'll find
Edgar
out.
Edgar will probably have to do something different, yeah, because he's just going to get bullied, just tossed around, grinded out, he's got really good wrestling, but if BJ, is able to take him down, even just the couple of times that he was able to,
right,
then that's kind of like what Gray Maynard does, and if that is a weakness in your game, mm-hmm, to somebody who fought like BJ Penn did on Saturday, then you could probably have some real problems in the upcoming future with someone who specializes in.
Yeah, and again, this whole time, I feel bad talking about it in these terms, because Frankie Edgar deserves a lot of respect and a lot of praise for, not only, winning the belt the first time, it was a little controversial, but then defending it against BJ Penn, and he showed marked improvements, showed a good game plan, and even though it was against a BJ Penn who many people just kind of felt off about, he legitimately won the strap, and...
Yeah. Well, you're the guy after the greatest, after everybody... The established person,
right.
The dude after Edgar is probably going to be treated a lot better than this guy, but he's going to be the bastard lightweight champion. So BJ, what was up with him, dude? Now, as of August 30th, has he responded? Has he said anything?
I haven't seen anything. Part of it is, BJ Penn's kind of had a history of the motivational issues, we've seen him not necessarily not necessarily at lightweight before, but he has had the motivational issues. I mean, he left the UFC at one point to just go get fights elsewhere because he wanted to be challenged perhaps, or just get more different fights than the UFC was offering him. I think at one point he mentioned had he won his rematch with George St. Pierre, he thought maybe he'd retire, walk away. So I think motivation has been an issue for BJ Penn in the past, and you know, I kind of assumed, having lost his title and getting a rematch with the guy who took it from him, he'd come in with more fire and, you know, be more aggressive and maybe go for takedowns earlier, as we saw he did kind of in the later rounds. I don't know what it was, if anything was, you know, physically wrong with him, or if it's just like a mental thing.
Are people upset with him, you know?
I think people are upset with his corner, and that was mentioned on the broadcast where Joe Rogan was talking about, like, look how good Frankie Edgar's corner is doing, you know, giving him technical advice, whereas BJ Penn's corner just seems to be like, hey, man, do your thing, get in there, you know what to do, giving him a pep talk, which arguably BJ Penn did seem to need a pep talk, but it wasn't anything specific, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, do your thing, man. So I don't know, BJ Penn's corner needs some... need some work or whatever, but, you know, even if it was simple stuff like, hey, you know, you try a takedown, you know, they didn't really kind of push him in any specific direction so much as just kind of try and
come on,
get in there, rock,
this.
You know, yeah.
There's nothing on ice that's going to save you now.
So I don't really know where BJ Penn's going to go from here, but we'll see, I think.
Yeah, maybe he'll just be done.
You know, that's a legit thing, you know, BJ Penn, again, he's walked
he's
away
left
before.
Yeah. He has, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
He still has his looks and most of his brain, it looks like. He still speaks well, you know?
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I think any time a fighter who's been dominant for so long loses, people are like, oh, was he always overrated? Or, like, what happened? And, you know, I hate jumping on that bandwagon immediately, you know?
Certainly he's one of the best. It's just his... You know, it's confusing. That's
right.
All. We just want answers, and unfortunately, obviously, we're not going to get them.
Hey,
you know,
we got the answer, Frankie Edgar.
Oh, hey now.
Hey, look, that's his
nickname.
Come on.
Hey. Yeah, Tobin. That's why you listen to the audio show.
The witty banter. Clearly.
What else we got over here?
Well, we mentioned earlier, Gray Maynard. I believe, you know, Dana White said, you know, hey, Gray, the winner of the Kenny Florian Gray Maynard fight will get a title shot. Who knows if that'll change? But Gray Maynard has earned a title shot, I believe. You know, regardless of what happens, Gray Maynard has earned that title shot against Frankie Edgar, beating Kenny Florian in 3-round decision.
I
believe unanimous. And you know, I was kind of, I guess, kind of surprised. I picked Kenny Florian because I thought, you know, he does have better stand up and he's got good jiu-jitsu. And we saw, you know, he almost got Gray Maynard into submission, I think, late in the fight. I think he landed a few shots on Maynard and, you know, just wasn't able to get the fight in his corner, I guess, get the flow changed. And then, you know, Gray Maynard was able to work his game, get the takedowns, kind of the smothering, kind of grind out a decision.
Yep. Smothering, covering, yep. Waffle House hash browns.
But, man, Dana White...
mad. Angry.
I don't know if he was mad or angry, but he basically said Kenny Florian chokes in the big fights, which, a little harsh.
Yes.
For,
a little bit.
By the way, I think quotes from the post-fight UFC 118 press conference, Dana White not wanting to comment, is it basically saying, regarding this whole Shane Carwin steroid allegations, being on that list of distributors or people who receive steroids.
Just hush, hush, huh?
Basically saying, like, you know, I haven't looked too much into the issue. I don't want to talk about it too much. And then he maybe said, like, one brief other comment about it. But sure willing to jump on fighters who, you know, one of your top fighters in the lightweight division, by the way, and just like, yeah, he chokes in big fights.
Nice. Keeping him close to the chest. Well, you know, as long as they're, you know, losing fights and disappointing you, then...
Right, and I think it's been brought up on some other websites and stuff like that, but that kind of just torpedoes, you know, like, why would you... Because I don't know how big of a draw Kenny Florian is, but I think he's still one of the top lightweight fighters, and why would you want to basically torpedo any future drawing ability for Kenny Florian? Because you basically say, like, yeah, anytime he's in a big fight, he's going to fail. So... That kind of just, like, you know, cut out Kenny Florian at the legs, you know. Like, hey, next time Kenny Florian, if he gets a few more wins, next time he gets a big fight, don't worry about watching it because he's going to lose anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems weird. But, you know, whatever. And I don't know if Kenny Florian can improve his game again, you know, working off of his back. You know, he's not old by any means, but, you know, we did mention it is kind of impressive that Kenny Florian has been able to improve and change up his game, you know, coming off of losses and kind of, like, you know, improve, change things up. But, you know, I don't know if, you know, the whole working off your back against wrestlers, if that's something he would be able to do. But, you know, props to Gray Maynard for, again, you know, we give Graham Brainerd kind of, I don't know.
Hard time.
Hard time for, you know, getting decisions all the time, which again, you know, you it's a sport, you earn your victory. But from a fan's perspective, we got to keep in mind this is the UFC. They're trying to draw viewers and, you know, make that pay-per-view money. And it's easier to sell guys who have highlight reels of knockouts and slick submissions. So I think that's where some of the criticism comes from. But as far as a sporting perspective goes, Graham Maynard's earned the title shot, got another solid win over a solid competitor in Kenny Florian. So he clearly, you know, moves on up to fight Frankie Edgar. I don't know where Kenny Florian goes. I don't know if we're going to see a Florian-Penn rematch at this point with them both coming off the losses. I think Kenny Florian's still one of the top guys in the division, and I'm not sure if I want to use the term gatekeeper or not, but it basically, you know, if you want to establish yourself and you know, I think the way to the UFC lightweight title goes through Kenny Florian, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the John Fitch of the division.
Yeah.
Maybe.
His new nickname's the Toll Booth.
that was
an all right fight. You know, I don't know. You get through it. You embrace the grind, and you come out stronger on the other end.
Right. And again, impressive showing for Graham Maynard because I figured Kenny Florian would be able to get the better of him standing up, and you know, maybe hurt him in the stand up department, and then be able to finish him on the ground with a submission, something like that. And the Graham Maynard showed some resilience, got out of a submission attempt, so. Very, very good stuff there, you know, as far as, you know, establishing his, building his resume. Let's talk about the Damian Maia fight, which, I think that was kind of more vintage Damian Maia. We saw him fade kind of in the third round a bit, you know, getting tired and then just being like, all right, I want to play in the guard, which he's a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yep.
What do you expect? But, you know, wasn't able to pull off the submission over Mario Miranda, who I believe trains with, Anderson Silva and, mm-hmm. Black House guys. I believe, but it was kind of more. I think Damian Maia, you know, got heavily criticized for his performance against Anderson Silva, you know. But again, he's growing. He's trying in the stand-up department. Still lacking against anyone with good striking. But you know, his bread and butter, I think, is always going to be the ground game. And we saw here why. I mean, he was just able to kind of transition around, go for all these different attempts. And again, you know. Wasn't able to be successful against Miranda on those attempts, but he was working the whole time and really.
You gotta work it. You need to close though. You gotta be a closer. If you're a ground guy, that's great. That's really awesome. But you need to close that out, or else you know if you get in this this habit of just getting the decision wins from just monkeying around, you know, down on the floor, then it's not really gonna add into fan interest.
Yeah, but Yeah, from the fans' perspective, I can get that, but a win's a win, man.
W, got to get it. And he got one. It was a good fight. He learned something. That's more for the thinking man's, you know, mixed martial art. Like if you, do a little training or, you know, if you go through the effort to learn moves and mixed martial arts theory, then it's a very exciting match.
Right. Well, and again, I mean, I understand the idea that fans can find decisions boring, but it seems kind of silly that, like, that's a legit way to win an MMA fight, and it seems like, you know, commentators and pundits and stuff kind of get on guys who win decisions a lot, which, again, I get how people find it boring, but at the same time, it's like, oh, this guy's not a closer or whatever. You're like, he's winning his fights, you know?
Sure, and what does that say about the guy that loses, too? You know, you probably feel that. I think in that situation that you could actually be more annoyed with the winner than the loser. You know, the winner of those types of matches winds up losing more fans than the guy that actually lost the match.
Oh, I think a good example of that, and, you know, not like having quantitative data in front of us, but, you know, the George St. Pierre-Dan Hardy fight where, mm-hmm. you know, people, the internet kind of got on George St. Pierre after, like, oh, he can't finish, and, like, what a trooper Dan Hardy is, or, like, any other person would have, like, broken their arms and would have tapped out or something like that, and Dan Hardy's a freak, and, you know, good on him for, you know, being able to survive those submission attempts. But George St. Pierre can't finish fights.
Right.
And, you know, like, George St. Pierre dominated Dan Hardy.
He did. Whooped his booty.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
Interesting point, Internet. What's up with that?
What's up, Internet? But, yeah, no, and, you know, I know I'm naturally contrarian, but it kind of, I find it interesting, you know, not even just during the podcast, but, you know, talking to guys at work, like, oh, man, that guy can't finish fights. I'm like, winning a decision is, like, that's not a...
That is a finish.
That's not an underhanded tactic. Like, that's one of the ways you win an MMA fight. So, but yeah, granted, I mean, the fact that Damian Maia was going for all those submissions, and couldn't get him. But Mario Miranda, you know, again, you know, he was a solid opponent. He showed some very good escapes, transition, or I don't even know, not necessarily reversals, but yeah, was able to get out of a few solid submission attempts from Damian Maia. But you know, Maia working his way back up, and again,
he's got, you know, a little bit longer of a road to go, but he'll get another title shot.
I think, you know, down the road, especially if, you know, Chael Sonnen gets his rematch with Silva and beats him, because Damian Maia's got to win over Chael Sonnen. And it's this whole, like, you know, Damian Maia's not well-rounded. Like, he's not. He doesn't have good stand-up. He's looked good at standing up against some guys and looks dreadful against Anderson Silva. Many people do. But you got to remember, he tapped Chael Sonnen. So it's, you know, like, who do you match up well against with the talent you have? You know, I would never favor him against Anderson Silva. I think we mentioned before they were fighting, you know, if he gets him to the ground, good on him. He'll probably get a submission. But it's just like, put yourself at a huge risk there, and clearly saw that he wasn't able to get to the ground against Anderson Silva. But, you know, against guys who he can take it to the ground, or, you know, work a ground game on, he's going to hustle him for the most part. So, yeah, it's just, you know, who do you match him up with? It's the styles make fights argument, you know.
Yeah. Well put.
Woo. So, fight of the night winner, I think, for the UFC bonus, as well as, I think, in the fans' eyes, Nate Diaz versus Marcus. It's not a tumor, Davis.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah.
Not the fight of the night for me, but
really?
it was a good one.
What was fight of the night? Seeing boxing fool James Toney get schooled by MMA legend Randy Couture?
Oh, man, what was it?
Was
it Lozon?
That was a beatdown, though.
That was awesome. One of everything.
That wasn't
to
a fight, though. That was just a one-sided drubbing.
Oh, okay. Hey, just saying, for my own, you know, opinion, for what I enjoyed about it. And it wasn't just because it was like a brutal ass whooping, you know. Right. I just enjoyed that he did just one of everything.
Right.
Hit him a little bit, slammed him down, worked him like for a couple seconds on the ground, submitted him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 1-2, everything that you can do in mixed martial arts besides like a spinning back kick, this guy gave to him. But you know, good on Mr. Diaz. Like I don't like him. I don't like him and his brother. And
you don't like the Diaz brothers?
I don't. I F those effing Diaz brothers. But that was a really good fight and just brutal, brutal stuff. It was a slugfest.
Yeah, really interesting. I mean, we were, again, I got to watch this with friends who don't normally watch MMA, so some were like, oh, what's that on the side of his face?
Oh, man, just got icky after a while.
But, I mean, Nate Diaz really put it on Marcus Davis, showing the reach, I think, really played a key part there. I mean, Marcus Davis used to be a boxer, had I think did have better boxing in this fight, but it was really the reach.
Reach was just
such a big problem. And the Diaz brothers do have that awkward striking style that really seems to work for them well.
Oh, they're pterodactyls, and then they'll just, you know, loop around, and some very odd punches where you wouldn't think that they could put a lot of power in there, but, you know, it takes them so long to get from, you know, position A to your face that by the time it's traveled that far, it's a real some real good good knuckle sandwiches for you.
Yeah, but Nate Diaz really put it on Marcus Davis, really busting up his right eye.
When I can see the swelling from behind you.
Yeah, that's what I basically saw that exact same thing. It was like, oh man, I can see a swollen eyeball from the back of his head. That's not good.
That's not good at
but
all.
Yeah. But, I mean, a good performance by Nate Diaz at welterweight, and again, you know, beating him up on the feet and then finishing with a pretty sick submission guillotine choke, I believe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I don't know, Marcus Davis hasn't been the same since, you know, he got in the war of words and then a fight with Dan Hardy, I think. I like to attribute it to the loudmouth Brit, but, you know, and Marcus Davis is, I don't want to say he's over the hill, but he is getting old, and I think it's just an example of, and I don't, no disrespect, but I don't think he was ever, you know, going to be a title contender in the first place. But I think it's just kind of another one of the examples of a guy who's got a very good skill set in one specific area, the stand-up, the boxing. But I think some of these younger guys are going to be able to pass him by who are more, maybe more well-rounded or just have been able to kind of grow, evolve with the sport. And again, I mentioned it, the reach advantage. It was just, you know, he's a small
crazy guy. Yeah.
I mean, Nate Diaz is kind of, is a tall dude, but I mean, Marcus Davis is...
It's just a fact of bodies. Like, you can't, you are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So in that fight, definitely you you can't win in a war of punches. You know, you can have as much heart as possible, and you can try to get in there close, but really, you know, he should have changed up his game plan.
Right, well, that's the thing. I mean, you don't want to go to the ground with the Diaz brother, obviously. But,
and you can't really stand with him if he's got that kind of reach advantage on you, too.
I mean, he was able to get inside a little and had some success early on. But, yeah, I mean, it became clear that the reach was really really big problem. I'm just looking at some of his opponents. And, I mean, you know, he had that bad loss to Ben Saunders the first time he was KO'd. And yeah, I think that was a big factor as well as, you know, kind of the decline of Marcus Davis almost. But another guy who had, you know, several inches on him at least, Marcus Davis, I think 5'8" or so. Ben Saunders over, I think, about 6'2" or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nate Diaz, another tall dude, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not even, sometimes guys use the reach advantage as an excuse for why he's like, I couldn't get in there. He's got the arms of a pterodactyl. Well, then you knew that before going in, you know, so it's nobody's fault but your own. If you're so stubborn that you can't change up your game plan, Then you shouldn't have gotten into the ring with him in the first place.
Right, but I mean, I think there's going to be a place for Marcus Davis in the UFC because he's kind of one of the stereotypical like kind of journeyman or you know a very solid stand up fighter, but the guy who likes to stand and bang, and that's what the fans like to see. I mean, we were just talking about how you know Gray Maynard, another decision. Now we got to watch a 5-round fight with Frankie Edgar down the line. Marcus Davis, you know, he's gone to decision before, but it's always the stand and bang, like oh, what happened to their faces type decision, you know.
Mm-hmm. Don't expect him to be winning a whole lot in the future. Because, I mean, if you get to that point, then why give you fights that you can win? You know, you don't want to stack the cards so he's losing every single time.
Well,
but
you want to give him challenging fights, but I think the UFC knows it has several guys like Marcus Davis who they can just put in, you know, win or lose, he's going to put on a good fight. You know, and he showed a lot of heart. He had this huge, swollen, garish.
It
he looked like an alien.
An alien, and then it was turning even whiter, too, which is freaking me out. Like, it looked like a chunk of skull. You know, it was so swollen and beaten up that it actually was changing colors. You get a bruise, it's purple or whatever. And then you get a little further, and it gets beet red and everything like that. So it went through, it was white hot, almost. Yeah. You know, it was this insane kind of swelling where there is no more pigmentation because it's so swollen that the blood just can't really get in there anymore.
Yeah. I mentioned it, watching the fight with some friends who hadn't watched MMA much at all before, maybe even. But every time I do that with people who don't
watch
MMA.
You seem to do that a lot. Do you have a lot of friends that don't watch MMA?
Just like the last, I have a few, but just the last two times some of them actually came over.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting here because I just basically sound like a sadist or something like that. Because they're like, oh, man, look at his eye. They've got to stop the fight. And I'm like, well, I mean, the doctor checked him out. They're like, oh, that doctor's crazy. He's going to get killed or something like that. They were like, not to oversell, but they were like, oh, man, this is really sad. Like, they got to stop this fight. This is terrible. And I'm like, well, A, it's a fight. Guys are going to get hurt. And again, like, I come off sounding like a total sadist. I'm like, well, like, you know, yeah, he's bleeding from that eye, but it's not getting in his eye. It's not obscuring his vision. He hasn't, you know, he checked it a couple times, you know, pat away, and maybe the ref should have got in there and been like, whoa, we've got to check this again. But, you know, Marcus Davis, you know, again, he lost, but it wasn't like he was out there, like, fighting blind. He wasn't, like, you know, throwing punches the wrong direction or anything like that. And it is a combat sport. Guys are going to get hurt. And I wouldn't have been shocked or complained had that fight been stopped because of his eye, because I do think, you know, especially towards the end, it was getting so swollen, like, I don't see how he could have seen well out of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think he was just, like, a sitting target, I guess. And you know,
nobody would have been more upset than him if that fight had been stopped, too.
And you could hear the crowd as soon as they checked the cut that one time, checked his eye that one time. You know, they were like, oh, they're not going to stop it, are they? There was kind of like the rumbling in the crowd. But, I mean, we all saw that close-up of his eye, you know. Like,
it was bad.
And the reveal was great because, like, they were checking the one cut kind of above the eyebrow on his right eye. And people are like, oh, you know, looking at it. And then, like, the doctor's hand goes back, and you see, like, this bigger cut, like, on his eyelid. And everyone's like, ooh. But, again, it wasn't, like, dripping profusely into his eye. And
if anything, it almost helped him because he had so much extra forehead from the swelling that no light could possibly get in there, and he could probably see better.
Yeah, but it was bad. But, I just come off sounding like a sadist, but it's a combat sport. Guys are going to get beat up. Guys are going to get beat up. Guys are going to get hurt. They know what they're signing up for. And, again, like, I think if he had been in, like, you know, been fighting blind or something like that, they would have stopped the fight.
And there's really two ways you can look when an injury like that, or when, you know, when something like that happens. There's two kind of reactions. It's like fight or flight, you know. So your friends are going like, they got to stop this. This is too much.
Yeah.
While, you know, probably most of the people I run with be like, yeah, it's blown his face.
Yeah.
You know, you fight or you flight. It's interesting to see those kinds of reactions. Like, you know, mm-hmm. either that bloodlust just turns on, you know, and you probably don't become a fan for life, but you're like, oh, it's like this, huh?
Right.
This is extreme.
These guys are warriors fighting through injuries and stuff like that. It was like something I was going to bring up, you know, when Rich Franklin and Chuck Liddell fought, we found out Rich Franklin had broken his arm afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
If they had stopped that fight because Rich Franklin broke his arm, I wouldn't fault him at all. That's a legit injury to not be able to fight with. But at the same time, you also have, you look at it, he powered through and he won the fight with a broken arm, and people are like, oh, what a warrior. So it's just that weird mentality. And, you know, it comes out every once in a while. But, props to Marcus Davis. Again, show and heart, fighting through a brutal eye-swelling tumor thing
on his
face. It was a
good one. It's not a tumor.
But the most exciting fight for you, I guess, which is, you know, I guess that goes down to the, you know, the word choice. Because I think of a fight as a back-and-forth affair, something that kind of, you know, and you know, something a bit more competitive.
Sure, no, that was a proper ass whooping. What happened?
Joe Lauzon in the prelims over Gabe Rudiger, submission armbar in the first, just 2 minutes in. Joe Lauzon was able to maybe he stole all the hometown energy meant for Kenny Florian.
Yeah, maybe.
But Joe Lauzon really, you know, coming off of a less than impressive performance after in his last fight, he had returned from an injury. And lost his last fight to Sam Stout, I believe. But, you know, he had all the energy in the world for this fight against Gabe Rudiger. Really put it on him. And, really impressive showing.
I don't know. Well, I mean, if you have a fight that's that one-sided, I just don't know if he's really good or the other guy just sucks that much, you know, because it doesn't really show me anything because it was so extreme in this one point where I don't really have a basis for him, you know.
Right.
And I just thought it was really entertaining and humorous because you don't get to see too many of those fights anymore because everyone's you know, pretty good nowadays. These are professionals and they're really stepping up their game and there's a lot more evenness and people are getting you know, more mixed in the mixed martial arts.
Right.
And you just don't see a kind of domination like that too often. And I had to laugh. It was just, it was so awesome.
It was great. Yeah, he was all over the place. So definitely a highlight reel performance.
Oh, yeah, just put the whole match in there.
Yeah.
Good. Feel bad for the other guy.
Yeah, you know.
Sucks to be him.
Finally got back into the UFC after getting all this crap on the Ultimate Fighter. This guy, you know.
Cried.
Eating cake, crying about missing weight, all this stuff. And
you eating cake?
I guess, yeah. Mm. I was not a season I watched. But,
sure.
You know, got a lot of grief for that. Still does. I think as we demonstrated last week with when Greg was here talking about the fight. But you know, he worked his way back through the local circuit. Finally got his shot again in the UFC.
I know. And gosh, that's sad.
Just had a bad showing, man. He got clowned.
And you know, maybe it was just a bad night for him because I can't imagine that he's that bad. I mean, he worked his way all through that, and I don't know if Lauzon is. I doubt Lauzon is that good. Like, I don't think we're ever gonna see another showing like that from him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But again, I think it was that East Coast energy. You just absorbed it like
could
a Highlander or something.
Yes, there can be only one.
Yeah, and that one was not Kenny Florian. It was Joe Lauzon.
And how many going down to Boston's did we hear?
You know, I was kind of disappointed. I don't know if we heard that much. I mean,
we did literally see a couple of the Dropkick Murphys, though. A lot older than I thought they would be.
Hey, man. Time affects us all.
It does. Life on the road.
The long, slow march towards death.
Yes. Yes, you have it, you lose it, then you die. Yeah.
Speaking of long and slow, how about Nick Lentz's decision over Andre Winner?
Woo!
Again, you know, grinding out the three-round decision over Nick Lentz took Andre Winner out in the prelim. And, again, that good on him getting the win. The only thing I can see is this was one of the free shows on Spike that's, you know, like the hour-long prelims on Spike before the pay-per-view, and they're doing the hard sell to, oh, buy the pay-per-view after this coming up. And a lot of times I think they try to put it so they have, like, they're like, oh, we know these guys are going to have a war on the prelims and get people excited to buy the pay-per-view. I can see this fight not helping.
Did not help the cause, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, good on Nick Lentz. And then, of course, we saw Dan Miller getting the win over John Salter, submission guillotine choke. Another pretty slick six submission there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Miller, pretty well documented, so had some rough times. Lost three in a row, but had some family problems as well. Some family issues, very, very sad. Not to say that, sports makes everything better, but I mean, I gotta say, having some big family problems and then losing your job would be tough.
Yes.
So nice to see him get back on the winning track there.
Good Cinderella story so far.
So far so good, right?
So far on that track.
On the comeback trail, and again, his last three opponents were very, very tough. So no shame in losing them, but with the personal issues as well. Good to see him. The sentimental win.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I think that's all the fights we saw. Basically wraps it up. We had Mike Pierce beat Almacar Alves on the prelims as well, and Greg Soto take a unanimous decision over Nick Ochipchak. And I believe that was believe that would be all the fights for UFC 118.
Well, it was. What do you think overall? I know you like to give it the best rating that you possibly can every time.
Right. But, well, I just don't like to be the guy who's like, oh, there weren't enough knockouts and there weren't any on this card, because I don't like being that guy, and I like to kind of try to be more. I don't know if objective is the right word, but just kind of be more.
Well, understandable, but you don't need to go for blood and knockouts every
right.
time, but with like a main event like Edgar Penn, I would definitely say that left a bit of a bitter taste in my mouth for the experience as a whole.
Well, yeah, I guess, but I mean, again, I think that goes back to, people, putting the focus on BJ Penn, whereas, look what Frankie Edgar did. I mean, that's, a big win for him. So, I mean,
he's going to be the bastard champion. I don't really care about Edgar, to be honest with you. He's cool. He's good. He's very good.
Fair and balanced. Okay.
Well, that's not what this is about. I'm not here to be fair and balanced.
We all play our parts. No, I mean, I thought there were some good fights on. And, again, we all talked about how BJ Penn, again, kind of looked lackluster, didn't have that fire. But that didn't leave a bad taste, I guess, for me, it didn't leave having ill thoughts towards the overall show.
No.
Not their most exciting card, clearly, especially after the last their last outing with Chael Sonnen almost getting that decision over Anderson Silva, and then
pretty exciting
fallen prey to a come from behind submission victory. But it wasn't a terrible card, and I think the talent on here was pretty decent as well. But yeah, certainly not their most explosive card. I think it's gonna probably have sold very well with that whole boxing versus MMA angle.
Yeah.
But
definitely a good C+.
Yeah, it was a decent card, Not a disappointment for me, at least.
And not a waste at all. It was it was fun.
But
it definitely had his moments.
Yeah.
Ups and downs, ebb and flow.
Yes. But
ta-da.
I guess we talked about where most of these fighters are going to go from here. I mean, we talked about the MMA versus boxing debate. Whether that's a thing.
Pretty pointless.
Yeah, not too big on it. But let's talk about the big news coming out of UFC 118 weekend. Newly minted Boston Celtics player, Shaquille O'Neal.
He was there, wasn't
he? And calling out Hongman Choi afterwards. He wants to fight Hongman Choi in MMA.
The really tall Chinese basketball player?
No.
Oh.
Now you're just being racist.
Sorry, who's that?
Oh, how dare you, sir?
Huh?
Oh, they all look alike, huh?
No, who's Hongman Choi?
He's an MMA fighter, fights over in Dream, I believe.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, everybody. Oopsie. Showing my ignorance.
No, that's right. I get Asian MMA fighters mixed up all the time. So.
Well, it just seemed to me like he would want to fight another basketball player. But he also has that TV show, too. Like
Shaq versus
the World or whatever, so... I could totally see why he would do, some mixed martial arts thing.
Yeah, but I mean, and Shaquille O'Neal...
The knees. That's a tip. Go for his knees.
It's kind of interesting because Shaquille O'Neal, unlike James Toney, has actually been interested in MMA beforehand, trains, rolls MMA, does...
Is athletic.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a big fan of the sport, of MMA as well as the UFC. I mean, you watch UFC for any amount of time, you see him... See him ringside at a decent amount of events, but That could be fun. You mentioned the Shaq versus card. So I don't think it's like, again, it would be kind of like the spectacle show, but it's not like Jose Canseco, who hasn't fought MMA before.
And doesn't probably like MMA, you know? He's probably seen it one or two times. Like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. How much does it pay? I mean, he doesn't need to do it for the money. And why does he get to call out who he wants, you know? Why can't he let a booker do it?
Because he was on ESPN and they asked him.
And why does he want to go after Hongman Choi?
Because he's another big guy.
Oh, okay.
Because Shaq likes to pick on people his own size. That's why. Hongman Choi, by the way, Korean.
Oops. I really just, you know, messed up, and I thought it was the Chinese basketball player.
No, I got you. I understand. How dare you, sir?
How dare you?
Yeah. But Hongman Choi, he's actually lost. He used to be a bit bigger. He's still tall, but I believe he had some, basically had surgery that, you know,
you got a stomach stapling, huh?
No. I think it was something ridiculous, like a tumor.
Oh, like a tumor, like a tumor.
Yeah, look at you being
all sensitive and stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't want you guys to get hurt. Be careful out there, everybody.
Yeah, but you know, I'm all for that fight. Why not?
Why not?
I don't think it would happen in the UFC. Obviously, Hongman Choi fighting over in the Asian markets. I believe fights for Dream. Now I got to double check myself.
This Dream, yeah, cool.
But you know, and I don't
give
know
him the fight.
I don't know if we'd ever see that, but it would be fun because and Shaq, you know, this interview we did with ESPN talking about it, you know, it was like, oh yeah, I'd like to fight Hongman Choi, and then like I think he also got on record saying, you know, he'd be in like a Tito Ortiz fight for like kind of like the, you know, maybe the Shaq versus type deal or whatever.
I mean, it's probably eventual for something like that.
Yeah, but you know, he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the attention. It would just be something like I think it's you know, be a one time like for the experience type deal.
But, just to say he can.
Yeah, but I think that would be fun, man. Hongman Choi versus Shaq. Make it happen.
I say do it.
Yeah, I mean he's already an unlockable character in UFC Undisputed 2010.
Ooh.
So
Shaq.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool.
But.
All right, so does he fight for Dream? What's up?
Yeah, I'm checking. Yeah, no, his last several fights have been in Dream. So he beat, you know, Hongman Choi, got that win over Jose Canseco.
Oh boy, so he's been doing the freak show circuit, huh? This isn't new to him.
Right, I mean, it's been funny because you look up in the news or the different MMA websites about, you know, Shaq saying he wants to fight Hongman Choi. People are like, oh, Hongman Choi would clown Shaq. I'm like, no disrespect to Hongman Choi because he is actually like a fighter, but you know, you look at his record in MMA, he's not, like, that outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a win over Jose Canseco and Bobby Olegun. You know, and other than that, it's been kind of freak show fights. He's been the giant to fight guys like Fedor, who armbarred him immediately.
Wow.
Or, you know, fought Krokop as well. It's, you know, and lost by a TKO leg kick.
Ooh, ouch.
So, but
why not?
He does have good striking. You got to bring that up because he was a K-1 kickboxer. So, you know.
Well, if he's got good striking, that's probably what, you know, Shaq's probably worked on more than anything else.
I don't know. Hey, he knows Shaq Fu.
That's true.
But, you know, in the I guess the list of freak show fights we've seen in MMA, I'd be willing to
watch
that.
That's probably one of the more the legitimate ones.
Right, because again, like I think people just don't know or haven't paid attention, and you know, Shaq hasn't made a big deal out of it, but he does actually do the training.
And he's filthy rich, so he can like just buy a gym, really. I'm sure he has like two. I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, so I'd be interested to see Shaq try it out once or twice. I would enjoy watching that. But I'm a big fan of Shaq.
Are you a big fan?
I love Kazam.
He would.
He was a genie in a boombox, man.
Genie in a boombox. I haven't seen it, actually. I'm sure it's good.
Well.
I'm sure it's entertaining. I'm sure
it's entertaining.
A movie. Is it a movie, Tobin?
It is a movie that happened.
All right.
I mean, it was no steal, but it was.
Yeah. Shaq Fu.
There's a reason we haven't seen Shaq act in a while.
I thought he was busy working on his jump shot. Free throw.
Or whatever. Yeah. So anything else you want to talk about, man? Any
no.
Any speculation, conjecture we want to
Nope, I've got nothing. You want to talk about Bellator real quick?
Yeah, Bellator coming up, the next weekend, but Bellator is back in action again. It's starting its third season, been away for a few weeks now. And we don't talk about it a lot, but it's something definitely, I think it's just because there's normally so much other, so much more of the big shows going on. We don't get a time to mention Bellator. But, you know, it's going on every week on Fox Sports Net. There are a couple tournaments underway. And their next event, you know, this Thursday, September 2nd, Bellator 27. That is happening. So keep an eye out for that. I'm pulling up the fight card now. See who is all on it. But as luck would have it.
So the tournament continues?
Yeah, they've got a couple different tournaments going on. They have the women's 115 tournament going on. I believe they just got through all the first round action on that. And honestly, I missed the last week's Bellator, because I haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we were going to talk about Bellator more in depth, but the computer I was on just totally crapped out. Entertainment value, I think, or the interest level, because, you know, you might not be familiar with that many of the fighters, but you kind of get to know them, and again, having them working towards a set goal, I think, really makes it interesting. And, you know, honestly, the commentary is pretty solid. I think it's terribly biased and doesn't know what an illegal knee looks like, and Gus Johnson oversells stuff and doesn't necessarily know what he's talking about. Marwan Naldo is like almost pro wrestling esque, which I think's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have the Goldberg drinking game for the UFC and Joe Rogan like going crazy for things that he doesn't need to go crazy for sometimes. But you know, the UFC's solid. But Bellator got good commentary. You know, they have their own, a few of their own hangups, but overall, you know, they get the job done.
Nice,
very solid work.
That sounds like a good recommendation from Tobin Shelby.
Yeah.
I'm Matt Collins. This is the Audio Choke Podcast at MMATorch.com. Feel free to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Like us, friend us. We're around. So, well, I guess I already did the goodbye introductions. What are those called?
The outros?
The outros. So until we talk to you next time, for Greg Rowland and Tobin Shelby, I'm Matt Collins. And this is over.
Catch you on the flip side.
Woo!
A lot more penis in that movie than I needed to see.